Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
When all the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be.
That's Beatle Paul McCartney in early 1969 rehearsing the then new song, Let It Be. Well, now, for the first time in 54 years, Beatles fans can see that in a fully restored version of the 1970 documentary, Let It Be, the making of the Beatles album of the same name, and maybe the unmaking of the band. For decades, the doc was only available on VHS and bootlegs. Fans would parse it, looking for cracks in the group's foundation. Why was Yoko Ono frowning? Why was she even at that rehearsal in the first place? Did Paul break up the Beatles? He thought maybe he was too bossy. Well, the Beatles did formally break up in April 1970. The documentary Let It Be was released the following month. Then in 2021, Peter Jackson released The Beatles Get Back, that epic three-part series culled from 60 hours of Let It Be footage from director Michael Lindsay Hogg. Well, now Michael's original Let It Be film is back with its final iconic scenes of the Beatles performing live on the roof of Apple Records. The fully restored Let It Be premieres on Disney Plus tomorrow. Director Michael Lindsay Hogg is here from the NPR New York studios. Welcome.
Thank you, Robin. I'm glad to be talking to you. I'm not talking to you with my usual voice.
I know.
This is the voice I bring with me when I've got a cold.
Yes, but it's also a good disguise. So you can make your way. But why hasn't this been released in so many years, especially since Peter Jackson took so much footage to make his film, Get Back?
Well, there's a shade on the picture because of the Beatles break up. And so people thought it was the breakup movie. In fact, it wasn't. It didn't do well at the first time around. And then there was a VHS released, and the VHS, there were some legal rights about who owned the music on the VHS. And then Let It Be was pulled until those rights were sorted out. And it was put on a shelf, and it's remained on the shelf for 50 years.
But I just want to offer this up, just especially for younger listeners. The very fact that we're talking about a documentary that was released 1969, 1970, in 2024, it would be like me when I was a teenager in the late 60s, being interested in something from 1900. You know, this is so extraordinary that this is still so much a part of our culture, and you have this moment. What do you think about what you've captured on film?
I worked at the Beatles before in 1966. I did their videos for Paperback Writer and Rain. And then in 1968, the video for Hey Jude. But I realized they were not the same four guys as they were when I first met them, because once they stopped touring in 1966, their lives became different. They began as teenagers in Liverpool, playing in bars until 5 a.m, and then starting to write songs. Paul and John were writing songs together in their teens. They came to the Ed Sullivan Show in 1964, February 64, and that was only 3 months after President Kennedy had been murdered. And I was of an age when the president was shot to be part of the grief which blanketed America at the time. 3 months later, on Ed Sullivan comes the Beatles, and they give joy to the suffering country.
Oh yeah, I tell you something, I think you'll understand when I say that something. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. Oh, please.
So you've got these four emissaries, it felt like, from heaven or something, that brought so much joy to the U.S. at a moment when we're about to find out that they are breaking up. So when we see George and Paul, George has this song. He's kind of saying, well, maybe we can play one of my songs. And it's I, Me, Mine. And he acts as if, well, nobody's going to like this. Now we're reading into it. Wow, this was when he was thinking that he was being neglected by the band.
Well, he was. I think it is because, remember they met when they were teenagers. And the two older boys, John and Paul, had already started writing songs together. George was about 14 when he met them. I think Paul was 15 and John was 16. And so George was younger, and there is a story that when they were walking along the streets in Liverpool, and Paul and John would be ahead discussing the great plans they had to take over the world, George would be behind them carrying guitar cases. Mm. And also the songwriting team was McCartney and Lennon, and so it was more difficult for George to get them to pay attention to his songs. And he knew he was a songwriter to be. He'd already written a couple of wonderful songs, and then he went on, when he went off on his own, to write, you know, startlingly good songs.
Well, and then on the other hand, Paul McCartney, who really you could see was such a skilled producer and he was a leader, you can see how much he's trying to help, and he's very kind about it. Like, hey, and there's a moment where he's, I think, speaking with George, and he says, I know you're a little annoyed with me, but I'm just trying to help, and I think I have a way of doing this.
There's a moment when Paul and George are talking, and it looks like they're having a row or a disagreement about a particular way to play a sequence in a song. But that kind of exchange between two artists trying to figure out the best way to do something is standard. Because the Beatles saw the rough cut. They never talked about taking that scene out. Mm. They just took that as what happens when you're working on a song. And so going back to the way you are framing this, which is right, everything that the audience at the time could pick up, like a clue, like going along the beach with your Geiger counter, trying to find a little bit of this, a little bit of that, that's what they were doing. And they were trying to find out everything negative, because that was the view they decided to have, which, of course, is so much not that. It's a kind of love story.
Well, and again, we are looking at it through the prism of the breakup, which came, you know, just around the time of the release. The concert on the rooftop that ends what is a rehearsal, the concert on the rooftop is absolute joy. Were there moments when you can step back and say, I'm on this rooftop with the Beatles?
I didn't quite have time to reflect on what was going on because it was pretty busy up there. We had 11 cameras on the roof and some down in the street. What I did know is that that was it. We were only going to be able to capture what we captured in the hour or so we were up on the roof. The thing which was my nightmare was that all the cameras would be on one Beatle. Mm. You know, 1,000 minutes of Paul McCartney or 1,000 minutes of George or John. But in fact, it's actually fairly well orchestrated, given that there was no chance of failure. We had to get it right. Once the thing had turned into a documentary, I knew that we had to come up with some conclusion, to finish this episode in the Beatles' lives. And that's why, because we talked about doing it here, we talked about doing it there. At lunch one day, I said, why don't we just do it on the roof? They said, what? And I said, a concert. Then, of course, it turned out to be a pretty good one, because it's the last time they ever played together.
Unbelievable. Well, it was that. You couldn't have known that. An unbelievable joy. What did that feel like, being on the roof?
I felt their joy. I realized, to my amazement almost, and my deep sense of how lucky can we be, that these four guys who were going off in different directions were playing together like they'd played together when they were teenagers, that they were loving what they were doing, they were loving being the four of them together again, they were loving the songs they'd written. That's what's so touching about The Rooftop, is you see how happy they were, 1, 2, 3, 4 of them all to be playing together. And that joy is infectious. I didn't have time to feel joy, but I had time to recognize that's what they were feeling.
Yeah. Michael Lindsay-Hogg, again, director of the 1970 documentary Let It Be, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin. Oh, yeah.
Get back.